You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by the MLB.com Shop.
Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the San Diego Padres. I am Allison Footer from MLB.com, and I'm here with my very busy colleague, Corey Brock, who has done nothing but write stories about the Padres for what seems to be the last 12 or 13 years, but it's only actually been about a month since the winter meetings happened and everything exploded, and the Padres all of a sudden became the team that everybody's talking about, and A.J. Preller became the most interesting man in the room. So, Corey, I don't know where to start, so I think we'll just start with, just about everybody that came to the team. I mean, of course, we have Matt Kemp, who was introduced at an earlier time, and then just a couple days ago, the four, Justin Upton, Will Myers, Will Middlebrooks, and Derek Norris were also introduced. So I guess my first question to you is just when you heard, when all this stuff started happening and all of these deals were being made, what was your reaction, your initial reaction?
Well, I was astonished, I think. just kind of watching this whole offseason kind of transpire was kind of like a soap opera in the sense that the not a whole lot of activity at first. And then we, of course, knew that the Padres were very, very interested in Pablo Sandoval, a free agent, and then actually offered him more money than the Red Sox did, only to see him sign with the Red Sox. And then so I think there was a little bit of a lull there, but only to see A.J. Preller, who, important to keep in mind, has never done this job before, go in a completely different direction instead of attacking the free agent market, turning his attention to trades and kind of casting a wide net, getting a lot of lines in the water. Allison, I'm using a whole lot of tired cliches here, but, just trying to identify a lot of different targets and sort of seeing what kind of nibbles he can get. And he got a lot of nibbles. And in the end, he got a lot of interesting pieces, a lot of impactful offensive pieces. And, we talked, Allison, so much last year about how bad this offense was. This was the worst offense in baseball by a long shot. And they knew they had to make some upgrades. I don't think anyone could have ever imagined them making so many upgrades and so many impactful upgrades. We're talking Matt Kemp here. We're talking Justin Upton, Will Myers. These are former all-stars. These are former rookies of the year, silver sluggers, guys who are entering their prime, guys that have some upside, guys who are club controlled. I think if you're a Padre fan and you've been starved for something like this, the team hasn't made the playoffs since 2006, and you've kind of had your heart broken year after year, you have to be excited about what you've seen happen.
And I have to play the devil's advocate just for a second because, these guys, obviously there aren't any players that ever come with guarantees, but you can look at track records, you can look at the past couple of years, even just the last season, what they did. And, there are still question marks. Will Middlebrooks will be competing for a job. He's got some competition, especially with Corey Spangenberg, possibly. They want to find a place for him and try to get him in the mix. And, Will Myers, he actually had, a really bad year last year. And like he said, it was his first bad year, his only bad year. And he had a wrist issue that certainly hindered him. But there still are some question marks around here. I think that Preller is just trying to sort of, throw everything in the mix, see what works, and then see what kind of springboard he has, moving forward. But this isn't just an instant, division favorite, I guess.
Yeah, and it's, sure, do all these guys come without warts? No. And I think you identify Will Middlebrooks as a potential change of scenery, bounce back guy. Will Myers in the sense that, was bothered by the wrist injury last year. And A.J. Preller even admitted that, had he not had the wrist injury and had the down year because of it, that, they probably wouldn't have had a chance to obtain him. Why would the Rays have shipped him otherwise? He was Rookie of the Year in 2013. Matt Kemp had that monster second half last year. Certainly it turned out in the physical. He has the two arthritic hips. I don't want to say that he's past his prime. I still think he has some good years left in him, and he takes very good care of himself. But, these guys, there is no perfect player, I guess, is what I'm trying to say here. But these are all moves that, they rank on whole as still tremendous upgrades, just given the state of the team where it ended the season last year. I mean, this wasn't just a league average offense. This was well, well below. So they had to do something. They had to react. And what I found interesting, Allison, these are all moves that are, these are all win now moves. And the Padres had to move a lot of interesting assets. They had to move, you know, some minor league prospects, guys that they drafted and developed. They spent some money on, they invested in, and, you know, A.J. Preller comes in not having any real attachment to any of these guys. These are no guys that were drafted on his watch, and, you know, he had no sentimental attachment to any of them. So, you know, eventually some of those guys could turn out to be some pretty good players, but it's interesting that, you know, he feels that this is a team that can win now, and maybe in baseball, Allison, you know, the window is small, not just for the Padres, but it's small really for all these teams. And, you know, having this long view of building a winner, you know, I know the Astros are kind of taking the slow and steady approach and building through the farm system. And I'm not saying that's the wrong way to go, but maybe it's we're sort of in a time now where you kind of need to strike quickly.
And I like that Justin Upton. I think that two of the really compelling storylines that we might want to follow. First of all, Justin Upton, who hits a lot of home runs at Petco. So he's got 291 lifetime average, but 10 home runs are the most he's hit anywhere for, I guess, a road ballpark as an opposing player. But being a free agent after the season, and then the Padres would have some you know, decisions to make. And so I feel like he's going to have this like monster year. And then the Padres are going to, you know, have to figure out if they want to sign him or offer him a qualifying offer or whatever goes there. But that's got to be pretty encouraging to bring in a guy who actually hits well at that ballpark.
Well, and I think that's that really played into the acquisition that, you know, he has a pretty good sample size and he knows the division well. He's not scared off by this ballpark. And, you know, I think one thing that's sort of proven, or maybe it's a misnomer that this is, you know, we joke and we call it Petco National Park, but, you know, they made some alterations to the fences here, you know, since the ballpark opened in 2004. And one thing that's sort of held true since the ballpark opened is it does play true for right-handed power. And A.J. Preller, if you look at his acquisitions this winter, he has obtained some guys with right-handed power. Kemp, Derek Norris even has some. Justin Upton certainly has a lot. Middlebrooks. These are the guys that can drive the ball, can turn on the ball, and the thought process is if you square it up from the right-hand side, it's going to go. It's going to be a home run here from the right-hand side is a home run everywhere else. So, you know, I think that, you know, this is going to be – it's an interesting acquisition in the sense that, you know, the Padres didn't obtain him thinking, well, you know, we're going to pin all our hopes on maybe we could convince him to stay and he could sign a long-term contract. You know, they'll make a run at him. But they'll be perfectly content making that qualifying offer and, you know, collecting that draft pick after the first round. That's going to be a good draft pick. You know, let's be clear on that. That's a high draft pick. So, you know, I think they'll make him an offer. I think they'll make him a fair offer, and you know, we'll see. Maybe he'll fall in love with San Diego. You know, there's certainly worse places to end up. But you're right, Allison. This is a walk year. This is a guy in his prime. This is a guy who's had success here. I think he's poised for a monster year.
And I think the other really interesting thing to keep an eye on is just Matt Kemp. Any player, once you get to the major leagues, you get players at this level. I mean, there's a reason why they're there, and a lot of it's just you know, their kind of mental capacity for being tough. And the flip side of that is that they also get, you know, they kind of get a chip on their shoulder if they feel they've been slighted or if they're not wanted. And I just think, you know, I mean, they understand that this is a business, but the fact that the Dodgers traded him to a division rival, and you know, even though it totally makes sense and they're paying, you know, a lot of his salary, but it's still, he's going to look at it like the Dodgers didn't want me anymore. And just the amount of time that these two teams are going to be playing, I think it's going to be fascinating to see, you know, what he brings kind of from an emotional standpoint when he plays as many games as he's going to be playing against the Dodgers.
Yeah, and you never really know what makes these guys tick. You're right, Allison, and that maybe, yeah, kind of a chip on your shoulder that, hey, you know, I've been a Dodger my entire career, and you know, you never really know if you're going to stay with these guys forever and, you know, pull a Tony Gwynn or a George Brett or whatever, but you know that, you know, the Dodgers certainly had a surplus of outfielders, and, you know, they could have moved any of them, but they chose
to move him. And, you know, that, you have 18 matchups, and that's four plate appearances a game. And he's got certainly some opportunities there. And maybe the same sort of holds true for Will Myers, certainly not in the sense where he could, you know, he'd take out his whatever angst or vindictiveness or whatever. And maybe not the right choice of words on the Rays because they don't play them, but maybe a chance to, hey, maybe I'll prove to the Rays that they gave up on me too early. So, you know, we never know. He did say that, you know, he's going to do his best to prove that A.J. Preller made the right trade. So, you know, these guys are driven. These guys are competitive. That's part of the reason, aside from, you know, natural ability and a wonderful skill set that makes them so successful. So let's not discount that.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's a very underrated element of this game. It's just that these guys, I mean, they don't think that they're, like, when we can look at it objectively and just be like, well, this isn't a very good team, or these aren't very good players. And those players, I mean, they've always been the best players, no matter where they've been their entire lives. And they really, truly do not see what we see. Like, they see themselves as the very best among everybody. And I think that that's, you know, I think you could say 750 baseball players in the major leagues probably feel that way.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you're right. And we should never pretend to think what they're thinking. You know what I mean? Because we never walked in their shoes. We're not elite athletes, and we're not driven. You know, we're driven in different ways that they are. But these guys, yeah, you're right. They're the best of the best. That's why they're doing this. That's why they get compensated like this. And you know, I would never surmise as to think that, you know, that Matt Kemp might not, you know, I would never try to get it, climb inside his head and try and figure out what his motivation is. You know, I have no idea. All I know is that this guy has been an elite athlete, an elite baseball player for a number of years. And, you know, and as long as, you know, his body's willing, I would expect that to continue.
Yeah, I'm predicting a monster year from him. And there's one other element that I don't think we really touched on. Have we talked enough about the bullpen? It looks pretty good, and there have been a couple additions lately, and I know that the Padres feel like they have the roster pretty much set at this point, so I wouldn't expect a lot to happen between now and spring training. But the bullpen, Preller came in and sort of tweaked that too. So what can you tell us about, what do you think about how that's shaking out?
Yeah, A.J. Preller went into hiding for 9 days over the holidays, Allison. It was the most wonderful thing ever, and emerged from his cave, and now I know he was back in New York spending time with his family and his sister, and his three nephews, I'm sure, are all wearing Padre gear today. Came back and made a couple of deals, one with the Yankees for Sean Kelly, a hard-throwing right-handed reliever, and one with the Mariners, picked up an interesting piece in Brandon Maurer. They dealt Seth Smith, who certainly became expendable with you know, the bevy of outfielders the team obtained last month. Now, Seth Smith, certainly one of their better offensive players from last year, and they certainly weren't looking to get rid of him, but kind of became you know, a redundancy, certainly, with the acquisitions of late. So, you know, it's interesting. You can sort of see how he's setting up the bullpen now. Joaquin Benoit, you know, as the incumbent there at the back end, will close games, but he's looking for power arms, and he sort of has that now in Kelly and Maurer, who I assume Kelly will pitch the eighth inning, and Maurer will probably be the seventh inning guy, a guy that started in the past for the Mariners. He's only 24, but pitched very well in relief last year in the second half for Seattle, and, you know, again, he's controllable. They'll hang on to him for a few years. Kelly's 1 year away from becoming a free agent, but yeah, it's again, this is sort of how the Padres have done it for years, with run prevention, pitching and defense, and you know, starting pitching has been good. The relief pitching has always been among the league's best, and they feel very good about their pitching staff. And, you know, for years, you know, Bud Black's kind of leaned on that, you know, for success, and they've kind of always fallen short because the offense has always been, I wouldn't say second rate, but has certainly fallen well behind. Well, this year they're a lot more balanced, and I think that's what they've kind of been looking for, a much more balanced team, and the offense is certainly a lot more on par with the pitching, more so than it's ever been in his previous eight seasons.
Yeah, well, I have a feeling that there's going to be a lot of attention put on the San Diego Padres when they report to spring training, so Thank you, Corey, very much. And I'm sure we'll have much more to talk about next time. Thanks a lot.
Visit the official online shop of Major League Baseball at MLB.com/shop for the largest selection of authentic caps, T-shirts, jerseys, hoodies, collectibles, and more. Get your gear straight from the source, the MLB.com shop.